الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that whoever recites Darooda Paak just once, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 blessings upon them. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. This episode, Satanic Whisperings, today we'll be doing the second episode, and I consider this the heart of the episode. In this we would learn on the tricks that Shaitan uses to control us. So I appeal to you not to let Shaitan deceive you even now, and that you should see this episode from the start to the finish. Whatever you're doing, try and stop whatever you're doing and pay attention to this episode, because in this we will show you the tricks of Shaitan and show you how you can try and protect yourself from his tricks. Shaitan has many weapons to trap us. And if you look at all the problems that we have today, you find amongst the biggest problem is depression. You find so many people suffering with depression. And also increase in hatred, increase in anger, increase in suspicion, pride. And this causes people to commit violent crimes, and you find even crime is increasing, violent crime is increasing. And even things like people committing suicide, even this is on the increase. You find people becoming depressed so much that they take their own lives. And you hear so often that people kill even someone that's close to them. How many times you have heard of people killing their own parents? And when you question them, you hear this when they appear in court and they're questioned on why did you do this? And you'll often hear, they say, we heard whispers in our heads. And some even claim that Satan made me do it. And you also find amongst Muslims these days, there's so much conflict, even you find between brothers, between cousins, between close relatives. And Shaitan is working on this common human weakness, that he makes us assume things, especially negative things, without verifying facts. And thus he infuses suspicion and doubts in the hearts of Muslims and make us start thinking badly about others just by hearing something without wanting to verify it. And thus you find how Shaitan makes brother turn against brother. And you find this is very, very common. And this is all for materialistic purposes. And another very common thing you find these days is how Shaitan sows discord, the seed of discord between husband and wife. And Shaitan considers sowing the seed of discord between husband and wife as one of his greatest achievements. And we notice increase in divorce, in talaq amongst Muslims. And this is and should be a cause of great concerns. This is leading to a situation that is so common in the West. And we're seeing that amongst Muslims, single parents, broken homes. With broken homes which we don't understand and don't realize, the broken lives of innocent children. There's one hadith where our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Iblis places his throne upon the water, and then he sends his troops for creating dissension between people. And he says, the nearest to him in ranks are those who are notorious for creating dissension. Dissension means dispute. Then one amongst them comes and says, I did not spare so and so until I sowed the seed of discord between husband and wife. And Shaitan tells him, you have done a good job. He then embraces him. This is in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu. And you also notice that Shaitan hates the scholars, especially the pious practicing ones. He hates people like Amir al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhu al-Aliya, because he is undoing so many millions of people that were misled by Shaitan, and he's bringing them into the right path. So he hates the scholars, and he hates people who are becoming scholars. He hates even children who are going to madrasa to learn about our deen, because Shaitan knows that ours is the correct deen. So don't you think the Shaitan has got his target? We are his main target. We the Muslims. The Muslims have gone astray. He's too happy with them. And he's trying to capture as many of us as possible. So there's one beautiful story as well. Just to understand, for us to understand how Shaitan works. It's mentioned that once Shaitan was having his mashwara with his troops. So he asked one, "What did you do?" And he said, "I made a person do this sin and that sin. I made cause discord between husband and wife." He said, he praised them. He said, "Well done, well done." Then one Shaitan came to him and said, "I saw a little child going to the madrasa, and I distracted him and made him play, and I prevented him from going to the madrasa." So Shaitan was so happy. He grabbed him, embraced him, and said, "Sit next to me." The others, they were surprised. They said, "We did such a terrible thing. I made a person give his wife talaq. I made a person do this." And he said, "You all don't understand." He says amongst his troops, "Who of you know of a person who is an abid?" Abid is a worshipper. And sometimes most of the abid are not so clued about, I don't have much knowledge about deen, but they are practicing. They do practice without not much knowledge. So one of the shaitan, he said, "I know of a person who always goes for tahajjud salah." So shaitan said, "Let's all of us go." He said, "I want to teach you about knowledge." So shaitan approached this person who was rushing for tahajjud salah. He stopped him. And this person appeared annoyed. He said, "What do you want from me? I'm rushing for tahajjud salah." He took out a small bottle and he showed it to him. He said, "Can Allah Azza wa Jal put the whole universe into this bottle?" The person looked at Shaitan. He said, "How stupid are you? How can Allah Azza wa Jal put the world in this bottle?" So Shaitan, "Okay, carry on, you go." So he told the other Shaitan, "See," he told his other troops, "this person lost his iman. Now he can go on making tahajjud salah. Is going to have no benefit because of what he said." Now he asked the Shaitan, he said, his troops, "Do you know of a person who's a scholar?" And one person, he said, "Yeah, I know of a person." So they rushed to that place, and again Shaitan appeared in front of him, and he was rushing for Fajr Jamaat. So Shaitan stopped him. He said, "Can I take some of your time?" He said, "Listen, I'm rushing for Fajr." So he said, "Okay, just answer me this one question." He took out the bottle. He said, "Can Allah Azza wa Jal put the universe into this bottle?" He looked at him, he said, "You must be Shaitan." He said, "What is this earth? Allah Azza wa Jal, he takes the whole universe and many such universe and put it into the bottle. This is not beyond the power of Allah Azza wa Jal." Shaitan went away. And Shaitan said, "Can you see the difference? This is the difference." So can you see how Shaitan is aware that even young children who are going to madrasas can become a potential danger for him? And as we said, we see disharmony, we see a discord, we see misery, conflict, etc., spreading in the dunya. Does this not astound you? Because you look at the technological advancement, and the primary reason that we find modern invention is to make our lives more comfortable, to make things easier, to make things simple, to make things enjoyable. But is this happening? You ask yourself, how much convenience we have these days. You want to communicate with anyone in any part of the world, you just take your cell phone and you press the numbers and you communicate. You want to travel, you can traverse this globe, you can go in a matter of hours to distant countries. That is how, just to give you examples, you know, go to distant places, you've got cars that are very fast. But you look at the times of our companions, the companions of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal be pleased with them. How did they travel? On cars? Did they have cell phones? Did they have all the luxury that we had? No. They traveled on camels. They traveled on horses. And they went to hostile places. But look how successful they were in spreading the message of deen, spreading the message of Islam, spreading peace. When they went to foreign places, people accepted them because their lifestyle depicted Islam. They not only spoke Islam, they lived Islam. When people saw them, they embraced Islam. They showed love. They were sincere. They were only concerned about spreading the message of Islam, nothing else. They had no selfish motives, not to make the names bigger, not for financial gains. Everything they did was for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what they achieved in a short while is that Islam spread because of them throughout the world. If you see in history, you find, it's mentioned by the scholars, there were plus minus 120,000 companions at the time of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only plus minus 20,000 are buried around Makkah and Medina. The rest scattered throughout the world to spread deen. And that is why we are Muslims. Islam spread to every corner of the world. Even I am from South Africa, Islam came even to Africa and to South Africa. Alhamdulillah. So what does it tell you? That they were inspired by the Quran, the Holy Quran. They were inspired by the Sunnah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they used these tools to spread the message. We have these tools in our hands. How fortunate we are that the book of Allah Azza wa Jal has been protected. Allah Azza wa Jal has guaranteed that the book, His book, the Quran, will not change, because Allah Azza wa Jal has guaranteed that. And the Sunnah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preserved. So we have Quran and Sunnah that hasn't changed. What has motivated and showed success we have in our hands? How come? With all this modern innovation, how quickly we can transverse this globe, yet we find that we are so slow and that the message of Islam is not spreading. And unfortunately we find because many of us have become tools of shaitan. That even if we are doing work for deen, we want to promote ourselves. When we give bayan, we want people to praise us. Whatever we do, so we don't do it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. But in all this quagmire, we still find pious, true people. Alhamdulillah. The pious scholars, we still find them. We still find people like Amir al-Sunnah, who's got this pain for the ummah in his heart. And he is sending muballighs throughout the world. He's encouraging us to do neki ki dawah, to spread the word of Islam into the dark hearts. And alhamdulillah, we find that wherever Dawud Islami is active, that it is a force against shaitan. Now we look at everything that's happening around us. As we mentioned, that crime is increasing. Everything is increasing in the dunya. And we can see more wars. And if we look inside us, one on the macro sense, that means around us, we find all the destruction. But then we look inside us, micro, in the micro sense, we find we ourselves are drowned in more worry, in more stress, in more anger, in more hatred, more suspicion, more jealousy, more murder. There's more rape, there's more domestic violence, there's more drug addicts. More people are becoming suicidal and committing suicide. Why? This advancement in technology should make us reach people in distress quicker. That means we should be able to help people quicker with all this technology. But what do we find? More people are starving due to natural disasters like droughts, etc. And some due to conflicts, due to wars. We find that these conflicts are increasing. It's supposed to bring peace. we find there's no peace despite all this conflict. We find more and more civilians are being killed and they are suffering. And then we also find the cost of everything going up, unemployment going up. But yet we see more and more innovation. These innovations should make our lives better. But this peace is just a dream. It's just an illusion. Yes, we find ourselves piling ourselves with more and more comfort, more and more innovative products. But why is it we can't have peace? Why is it there's still this conflict? Why is it there's so much? In fact, we find that the opposite is happening. We find that people are becoming more and more depressed. And you find how, as Muslims, we have been sent to make people's lives better, to show them the light. But we find ourselves caught up in the same mess. So, with all these, we find, especially in the advanced countries, you find more and more people becoming depressed, more and more people visiting psychiatrists and psychologists. And you find that this is a modern problem. All the psychologist will do is give you counseling and may give you tranquilizers, and that is how they treat this problem. That means they treat the symptoms and not the disease. You find, unfortunately, with all this depression, you find domestic conflicts, adultery, zina increasing. And you find that as Muslims, we don't understand that committing zina, adultery, is a major sin. In Islam, the people involved, if they marry, they're supposed to be stoned to death. So it's not a minor thing. But you find because of the influence of Western life, we find that this is becoming common amongst Muslims as well. And when this happens, the very fabric of society is affected. Because you remember, families makes up communities, and that makes up societies, and we are involved in the community as families. So if the very fabric of the society, which is the family, if there is conflict, if there is a problem where the home breaks, due to, again, selfish reason. Now you'll understand that what causes this? The cause is nothing but allowing shaitan to enter our lives. And you will learn how shaitan causes this. You find the unfortunate thing is when there is a divorce or when there is separation, the people that are affected more are the innocent children. Because the husband is now maybe marrying somebody else, and his new wife does not like his children. So you find the children get neglected. And the mother may remarry. And the person she marries also is not happy with the children. The poor children are tossed between these two loves in their lives. And what happens? You find, this is common in the Western countries, that these children now cannot look up to the parents for guidance because they are preoccupied with their own lives. And they are become easy victims of shaitan. And you find in many cases, children who become drug addicts, become criminals, or end up becoming depressed and hate life are product of these kind of families. So you find that all these things, we spoke about the internal problem of depression, about anger, hate. These are something that we do not like. We don't want to impose this on ourselves. These are negative feelings. And you find that who wants to be angry? Who wants to be depressed? Who wants to be vengeful? So it means that we don't like it ourselves. That means there is an enemy within us that wants us to be like this. So, who is this enemy? This is what modern psychologists who are not Muslim don't understand. So Allah Azza wa Jal says to us, who is this? Allah Azawajal says in Surah An'am, verse 142, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Do not follow the footstep of shaitan. He indeed is your avowed enemy. So Allah Azza wa Jal says that this shaitan is an enemy that is within us. So, this one hadith mentioned that every one of us have a satanic jinn which is attached to us at birth. That means every one of us has this. And this shaitanic jinn has been created as we are born. And he knows all our secrets. He knows even the first sound that came out from our mouths. He knows everything that we have forgotten because he's been with us all the time. And you'll find that this, he is controlled by shaitan. And also remember, the shaitan runs in our vein like our blood. And he whispers to us. Allah Azza wa Jal says, يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. He whispers into the hearts of mankind, amongst man and jinn. So, and how does he influence us? We find that our scholars say that when we speak in the forms of waves. So our sound comes out in the form of waves. And each of us have a characteristic wave. That means the wavelength will be different for each one. This is very common. That your family, even if you are amongst thousands of people, when you talk, they can recognize your voice. Because each one's voice, like your fingerprint, has a unique wave pattern. And this shaitanic jinn that is created with us, he is called Hamzad in Urdu, or Qareen in Arabic. He knows this wavelength. So he knows our voice. And he whispers to us. And when there's something evil whispering in our brains, first we find that if it is detestable, we first become scared. We reject it. But now it's from within our heads. We don't understand that this whispering is from shaitan. And he whispers. And first you reject it. And you know, as they say, ghar ka chor. If there's a chor, there's a rogue in your house, and he's stealing, it's very difficult for you to find out, because there's no breaking, there's nothing, and you find things are going, and you don't know who's doing it. So this chor, this Hamzad is in us, and he's trying to steal our contact, our connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. So he whispers evil things. And you find, first time you'll get shocked at these evil things. And then shaitan has got his way. He keeps bombarding you with this thought. And all of a sudden, you start thinking about it. You don't reject it. You don't get angry. And you find many cases after continuous bombardment, when shaitan sees that he becomes soft, he keeps working on this. And you find that eventually he starts controlling you. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, he says, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُكُمْ بِسُوءِ وَالْفَحْشَاءِ وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This is in Surah 6, verse, or Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 169. That means the shaitan, he commands you to do evil and indecency and to say about Allah Azza wa Jal what you know not. Now, viewers of Madani channel, you find this is the trick of shaitan, that he entices you towards indecency, shamelessness. And how does he make you accept this? And in another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, and this is in the 17th surah, verse 64, translation from Kanzul Iman. And stagger them, whoever of them, with your voice. And mobilize against them your horsemen and your footmen. And share with them wealth and children. And promise them. And the devil's promise is a deception. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran as well. He says, in Surah 17, verse 64. Translation from Kanzul Iman, Allah Azza wa Jal says, He is talking about Shaitan, that stagger whoever so of them you can with your voice, bi sawtika, and mobilize against them your horsemen and your footmen, and share with them their wealth and the children, and promise them. And the devil's promise is but a deception. So my dear brothers, viewers of Madri channel, as you can see how Shaitan uses his voice, Allah Azza wa Jal says, bi sawtika, he whispers to you. Now, you find that when he whispers to you, he tries to control your heart and your mind. And you see that this is the trick of Shaitan. You look at it. An example. You find in Dawud Islami, especially for those who are practicing our Madni Namat, there's a lot of emphasis on controlling your gaze. And Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran as well to the believing men and the believing women to cast your gaze downwards and protect your private part. So this is very important, because this is how you protect yourself from the tricks of Shaitan. Imagine a young man not obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and looking all over, and he looks at a ghair mahram and he gets attracted to her and she looks at him. So Shaitan, and imagine she's good looking. So Shaitan will whisper in his mind, whether he is unmarried or married, he say, look how that beautiful woman is looking at you, and try and make him think that he's somebody. And he looks at her, and assuming she smiles at him. Now Shaitan works with her as well. And they may become attracted, because when Shaitan makes them both look at each other, and some scholars have said this as well, they say Shaitan runs in your veins faster than your blood. And then Shaitan goes in your frontal part of your brains. There are nodes that controls your emotion, makes you angry, makes you happy, makes you excited, etc. So Shaitan, once he sees this eye contact, and then he makes you become excited, and then you know what happens after that. And Shaitan uses this to make them come together and do haram acts by her beauty. Can you see how Shaitan, because of people not controlling the eyes, how Shaitan causes problems, and how he causes divorces, how he causes talaq, how he causes broken homes. So these are something that we should think about us about in life, that if we do not obey Allah Azza wa Jal, and if we allow our eyes to be controlled by Shaitan, then whatever we see with our eyes, the feeling goes into our hearts, and from there it feeds our brains. And you find that we constantly think about these kind of things that eventually causes problems, conflict in our homes, especially for those who are married. And you find that many people entertain this eyes of theirs by looking at evil things. And unfortunately, they don't realize that in life you have two choices. This ni'mat, this gift of sight, can be used to get your place in Jannah. Or you can abuse this ni'mat, this great gift of Allah Azza wa Jal, and use it for the pleasure of Shaitan and deny yourself the pleasure of Jannah. Imagine if you deny yourself the pleasure of Jannah, what's going to happen? In the qabr, you think when our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam comes into the qabr, he'll be pleased with you. So imagine abusing these eyes, how Shaitan tricks us in using this ni'mat to make Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam angry with us. Now imagine if you abuse his eyes, can you see Jannah? And he mentioned that the beauty in Jannah is such that even the smallest thing in Jannah cannot compare, and nothing in this dunya can compare with the smallest thing in Jannah, no matter how beautiful the thing is in Jannah. So it's something for us to think. Alhamdulillah, we find that in Dawud Islami, the emphasis of controlling our eyes, casting our eyes down, now it starts making sense. And in this series, we'll learn many things on how to fight shaitan. So one, if you have learned one thing now, the one thing is to control your gaze, to cast your gaze downwards. This was the sunnah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the practice of Amir al-Sunnat, Nigran al-Shura. You'll find on Madni channel. You find this message coming on over and over again on Madni channel. So if you travel on Madni Kafila, if you fill Madni in Ahmad, you find that all these things will help you to understand, at least use this one tool against shaitan. And inshallah, in that way, we'll make our dunya and akhirah successful. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.